You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10pm with Darren Owen, Ross Briley and Sean Quinn in the studio. It's Leicester, Market Rosen and Wincanton on Thursday afternoon, and evening action as well from Chelmsford City. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me to look ahead to that action is Mr. Andrew Mount. Hi, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you. Bit of news to start with, Andrew, before we get stuck into Thursday's racing. Roger Varian's moving out. He's purchased the former Britain base, and he's moving to the Carlberg stables, which I suppose just shows his continuing growth as a trainer, really.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got a sort of huge string of horses now, hasn't he? And has been very successful as well in the last couple of years. So, he looks like a trainer on the up.
Yes, yeah, one of the biggest strings in Newmarket now, if not the biggest. Has he got the biggest in Newmarket at the moment?
I'm not sure the exact numbers. What's he got, about 180, 200 horses?
He's got loads of them. He's one of the biggest anyway, at least. Profitable. Has been bought by Godolphin. And he's going to continue in training next year for Clive Cox, which is a bit of news there as well.
Oh, that's good that he's staying with him, because some of these Godolphin-owned horses that have been trained by others, such as John Gosden, rather than the Charlie Appleby and Sidebin Soror Godolphin only trainers, have done pretty well. So, sounds like a good move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good to see him staying in training as well.
I've got a real downer on Godolphin trained sprinters in these top races, and they've got a terrible record, Sidebin Soror and Charlie Appleby. So, yeah. I think it's a good idea that he's staying with someone who sort of certainly specialises in training sprinters.
Yeah, and he obviously did nothing wrong with him last year, so he kind of, I know that they buy the horse, they can choose who to send it to, but it would leave a bit of a sour taste, wouldn't it, if he was suddenly taken off Clive Cox?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that. We've obviously got some big racing coming up at the weekend. The Tingle Creek is one of the highlights, or the feature race, coming up this weekend. We're going to look ahead to this year's renewal, because there's a bit of news in the market for that. But before we look ahead to that, we're going to look back. We're going to take another trip down memory lane. How this works, then our pundit on the Racing Podcast takes us down memory lane and chats about their best memories of the big race of the weekend. This week it's the Tingle Creek, and on this episode Andrew Mount is going to tell us his favourite Tingle Creek winner.
Mark, that was beautiful. I had no idea you could play the piano, but thank you.
Yeah, it's hard to get it in and out of this studio as well. It's not the biggest studio to squeeze a piano.
You should have bought an upright, not a grand. That would have been the sensible move, but you know, never mind. You'll know for next year.
Yes. Favourite Tingle Creek memory then, Andrew?
I'm going back to 1994 and one of my favourite horses of all time, which is Viking Flagship, trained by David Nicholson. Now, this one won the Queen Mother Champion Chase earlier in the same year in a titanic three-way battle between Travado, Deep Sensation and Viking Flagship. Now, I've no idea whether you've seen that race, Mark, but while I talk about this, I'm going to replay it for you. And it was a fantastic battle. Viking Flagship was the first of that trio who was under pressure. And Deep Sensation, as he often did, was cruising in the middle of the trio. And Travado was on the outside, travelling strongly for the Henderson Yard. Viking Flagship was a 4-1 shot that day, I believe. And throughout all the way up the running, this was in the Queen Mother, you just couldn't imagine he was going to win. You thought it was the other two who were going to fight it out. But he rallied to get up, an absolutely fantastic race. He was beaten next time out at Aintree on heavy ground just 3 weeks later. No doubt the Queen Mother win had left its mark. And Travado was also beaten at Aintree over 2.5 miles. I think that was behind Catabatic. And so fast forward to December, the pair take each other on again. Viking flagship and Trovado in the Tingle Creek. Now, Trovado had had a run, having won the Holden Gold Cup at Exeter, whereas Viking flagship was turning up there the first time of asking. Now, given that he'd beaten that rival at the Cheltenham Festival and they'd both been beaten next time out at Aintree on heavy ground by similar margins, you would have thought there wouldn't be much between them in the betting. But on the day, my old friend Viking flagship was a 9-2 shot, whereas Trovado was the odds-on favourite. It's 6-4 on. Now, I'd not been interested in horse racing for that long at the time, but it was about the first time I can remember being really surprised by the odds and thinking that the market had got it wrong and that, you know, these two should be the same price. So I just had to back Viking flagship, and that Tingle Creek was very memorable for that reason, and he's won by 3.5 lengths from Trovado, with Deep Sensation back in third. But the early 90s and my early memories of betting on racing were defined by that trio, and they had some fantastic battles, so not just the Queen Mother, but in the Tingle Creek as well. So, yeah, that would be my fondest memory of the Tingle Creek, the 1994 victory for Viking flagship.
Very nice, very nice. 1994, then I was 6 years old, so I can't remember watching the race live. But yeah, Viking flagship is Andrew Mount's selection, as he took us down Memory Lane.
Sorry, was that my cue there?
Yeah, I was looking. What was it together?
Memory Lane.
There you go. That's Memory Lane. We're going to keep doing this until somebody tells us not to. With regards to this year's renewal, all the talk at the moment is about Duvan. He's gone odds on in the betting, and strong signals that he's going to come over and take his place in the lineup. Although, in saying that, has there been some massive news? Because revisiting the betting, Duvan 11-8, Undersaw 2-1, Side of Grugy 3-1, Armad 4-1. That's changed massively since we were looking at this on the Tuesday, because Duvan was odds on and Undersaw was about a 6-1 poke.
Yeah, it's like herding cats trying to second guess the Willie Mullins yard, and my advice would just be don't bother. You know, pretend they're both non-runners and back something else, or wait until the day, and you know, and wait until they're lined up with their heads on the tapes, and only then will you know who's running. At this moment in time, I'd perhaps favour Sire de Grugy, given that you know, he's he impressed me at Ascot last time, winning a handicap under top weight. Mm. Now, one of my systems is to oppose horses carrying top weight in 2-mile handicaps at Ascot over fences, and I was very impressed that Sire de Grugy could win that despite the welter burden. Armad, his stable mate, is interesting, but Tingle Creek winners tend to be race fit. So Armad's not raced for some time, and he might just need the run. So, yeah, Sire de Grugy at this stage. But I'll make my final decision on Saturday morning.
Yeah, when we actually know which Willie Mullins runners might turn up. Okay, so Sire de Grugy at this point, 3-1 in the betting for this year's Tingle Creek. Obviously takes place on Saturday, but we're going to concentrate on matters close to hand right now, because we've got more racing coming up on Thursday. Andrew's got four races prepared for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
On to Thursday's racing then. The 145 at Wincanton is where we start. This is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's the Silver Buck handicap chase, in fact. It's over 3 miles and 1 furlong. We've got 6 of them to go to post for this. Andrew, who do you like in there?
I'm keen on a Cyclop here for the David Dennis yard. So David Dennis is in a bit of form. He had a 16-1 handicap chase winner at Newbury last Friday in the shape of Roman Flight. He's had several others run well in the past fortnight as well. And the interesting thing about Cyclop is that he's already had 2 runs this season. Now, this is a horse who needs at least 2 runs before he hits peak form. And since joining this yard, you go back to the 2014-2015 season. He was well beaten first and second time out, getting beaten by 25 and 12 lengths. Third time out, he made the frame at 9-1 at Taunton in a handicap hurdle, and then won at Huntingdon at the fourth time of asking. Similar story last year. First run, beaten by 44 lengths. Second run, a bit better. Third by 11 lengths. And the next time out at Market Raisin on the 3rd of December, was absolutely certain to win, 13 lengths ahead and in total command, according to the Racing Post, before tipping up 2 out. Now, he set the record straight in no uncertain terms at Warwick a week later, winning by 14 lengths in Handicap Chase Company on soft ground. And his seasons followed a very similar pattern this time around. First time out at all the way up at Kelso, was beaten by 51 lengths. And then he ran a much better race at the second time of asking in the, I think it was the Sussex National, the Southern National at Fontwell, finishing third at 14-1 in a field of 15 runners behind the Paul Nichols-trained Ariel. So third time out, he should be spot on fitness-wise, and I think he'll take all the beating here.
All right, cycle up to take all the beating. On to the 2:15 at Wincanton next. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over a mile and seven furlongs. We've got eight of them to go to post for this one, Andrew. A few of them making their returns from long absences as well, so it makes it a little bit more tricky, perhaps.
Yeah, this one was a lot harder to decipher. The fascinating one here is the David Pipe-trained Martabeau. Ex-French, having his first run in Britain, first run for the Pipe Yard, not been seen since June 2014 when second over hurdles in France. It'll be fascinating to see what the betting makes of this one. But in the absence of that information, I'm going to stick with Inform Colin Tizard and his five-year-old mare On Demand. Now, this one's two wins have come in small fields at Wincanton. Both over longer trips, around 2.5 miles, including on her penultimate start when she made all the running under this jockey, Angus Chileda, scoring by 12 lengths. Now, she couldn't back up that performance at the same venue next time. The bigger field wouldn't have suited that day. She was trying to dominate in a field of 12. So I think back in a single-digit lineup, perhaps ridden with a little more restraint this time, then maybe On Demand can return to winning ways. But it's a tricky contest.
Yeah, it is pretty tricky. On Demand, then, the selection for Andrew there. The 2:35 at Leicester next. This is a Class 4 mares handicap hurdle over the extended 2.5 miles. We've got eight of them to go to post for this one. Tolo Tonic and Sweet Little Kitty both arrive here with ones next to their name. Andrew, either of them on the shortlist for yourself?
Certainly not with the case of Tolo Tonic. So this one won a very weak mares only race at Toaster last week, and after which her trainer was saying, I wouldn't bet on her following up, basically, and she's in at Leicester next week, but might not even take her chance. So the time of that race was particularly slow, so I wanted to take this one on, and I was looking at a horse called Miss Tongabazy to win this, trained by Paul Webber, whose yard are really hitting form at the moment. He's had a winner on Wednesday with the Blue Revelation, who landed a gamble in the opener at Lingfield. And his other eight runners in the past fortnight have produced seven in-the-frame finishes. That's second, third or fourth. So I think Miss Tongabazy, on the return from a 253-day break, having run respectively in both handicap hurdle starts, she was fourth at 10-1 at Plumpton in February, and the following month she was a 16-1 fourth at Warwick, only going down by about eight lengths. So with the yard going well, she could be the one.
Miss Tongabazy, the selection in the 2:35 at Leicester, and the final race we'll look at is the 5:45 at Chelmsford City, a Class 3 handicap over a mile for three-year-olds and older, a field of 16 to go to post, so we'll have, if all of them stay in, four places to aim at. Andrew, and...
Yeah, that's the big question here, because there is a strong draw bias in big field one-mile handicaps at Chelmsford, and I think... I'm partly responsible for the wealth of non-runners we've had in these races recently, because I did some stats for At The Races that were read out at a meeting recently, and talking about how poorly the highly drawn runners do. And stalls 12 or higher have got a combined record of just one win from 68 runs in one-mile races at Chelmsford.
Wow.
So anything drawn 12-plus here could struggle, and as a few of these are likely to be prominent to the betting, including Mick Mack from stall 14, who was second last time, Chester Street for Roger Charlton, who won from stall, who's drawn in stall 15 and is a last-time out winner, and even Quaffle for Mick Easterby, stall 10 might not be ideal. So expect a few non-runners with bad draw certificates. I don't think they're officially called that. They're often described as not eaten up or self-certificates. But we'll see if that transpires or not. One that interested me here from stall 8 is half a sixpence for Rafe Beckett. This one's got a great record on the all-weather, 5 wins from 14 starts in total, and tends to go well at this time of year, and was second by a head over 7 furlongs here on his penultimate start, behind Firm Decisions, and then set the record straight when winning very well under a prominent ride at Lingfield last time. So although the middle draw could be better, the fact that he likes to be ridden prominently, I think he'll get out and get a good pitch, and should go well here. Half a sixpence.
Half a sixpence for Andrew then in the 5:45 at Chelmsford City. As usual, a little bit of a quick summary before you go, Andrew. Just confirm your selections for us then for the Thursday.
Yeah, Wincanton, Cyclop, on his third start, is often the time to catch him. Yeah, I'm taking him to win the 1:45, the handicap chase. The 2:15 at Wincanton, a very tricky contest. On demand is a tentative pick. And then we're over to Leicester for the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle, the 2:35. I'm going with Miss Tonga Basie for the informed Paul Webber. And then finally, down to Chelmsford for the 16-runner, hopefully 1 mile handicap. And I'm going with those drawn in single figure draws, and one of those is half a sixpence.
Superb. Thank you very much, Andrew. Good luck, and enjoy on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. A thought to Andrew Mount on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM with Darren Owen, Ross Briley and Sean Quinn in the studio. Leicester, Market Raisin and Wincanton play host to the afternoon action, and it's Chelmsford City in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.